In this week's discussion, we are going to approach an interesting question that comes about when one reads the Bible. Now, often this can come across as a bit of a dry academic question, but for Rav Hirsch, nested in this question is an ethic, an approach that Judaism is challenging in the world. Now, before we get to the answer, which becomes relevant to this week's parasha, but I want to develop the question. The question is, why is the next world not mentioned in the Bible? Now, I'll first begin with, why would you expect it to be mentioned? Well, I think that's quite obvious. An idea such as the next world, the spiritual life, isn't that the whole point of religion? Isn't religion supposed to pay you back in the next world for the suffering you have in this world? Isn't that the appeal of religion? Doesn't religion offer itself on the marketplace of ideas and say, well, this world is difficult? Yes, most people would accept that this world is difficult. An idea that's across the board accepted by religious traditions, that this world is a world of suffering. And the next world, you get paid back for your suffering, somehow justifying the pain in this world. In which case, I want to hear about the next world, especially in the central book of the Jewish people, the Bible, the oldest book of the Jewish people, the Bible. You would expect it to be splattered all over it. Because is this not the motivator for religious people? Why is the Bible not discussing it? So, let us begin with first maybe a tempering of the question, because it is a very, if you will, devastating question, because if there is no next world, if there is no spiritual life, then all you have is this world. And the last place a religious person wants to go is down the road of sort of reductionist materialism, that all we have is molecules in motion, because that has other consequences, such as the lack of freedom, the lack of transcended moral obligation, which gets lost if you just have a physical existence. But no, Rav Hirsch says Judaism does. And let us also remember, this accusation was leveled against Rav Hirsch in his time by different Christian writers, but it isn't the first time this is leveled against Judaism, and it won't be the last. You had, from the Christian standpoint, the need for this emphasis on the next world, hence Christianity needed to step in and provide this important point. Or from more ancient accusations that it was hijacked from different Greek cults or from Zoroastrianism in Persia. But Rav Hirsch says, let us first take a step back. The first point that we have to make is that Judaism makes certain assumptions. Like every other tradition, like every other religion in the world, they believed in some sort of spiritual existence or some sort of metaphysics that wasn't reducible to this physical world. It would be unlikely that Judaism would be an exception to this rule. But Judaism doesn't try and prove or mention all of its assumptions. Take the idea of God. Rav Hirsch says, Judaism doesn't begin with a proof of the existence of God. It takes that as an assumption, a given assumption that most of humanity has basically taken on board from the very get-go. This assumption that there is some sort of God to the universe is an assumption that most people go in with. The question is, does that assumption reflect reality? But the Bible takes it as a given. A Bereishis Bara Elokim, it doesn't say there was a God. No, it tells us what God did. Rav Hirsch says the same assumption is made when it comes to the afterlife. And what indicates this is that when people die in the Bible, specific people die, the language that is used after their death, before they're buried, is they are gathered to their people. And we have that in this week's parasha with Avram. He is gathered to his people. Now, this doesn't refer to the dying, this doesn't refer to the burial. This refers to some description of what is happening at that time to the individual who is dead. It also doesn't necessarily mean he was buried with his people. So this is sort of an indicator to the idea of a next world within the Bible. But that doesn't necessarily answer the question. That sort of avoids the question and says, well, it is kind of written there and a sort of given assumption. Rav Hirsch also tackles the question head on. And he questions the very assumption that this question comes into the game with. This assumption that the point of religion is to give us an afterlife. The point of religion is to give us some sort of justification for the pain and the suffering we experience in this life. That's not the challenge of Judaism. The challenge of Judaism is not to tell people how to achieve the next world, how to achieve the bounty in the next world, whatever that means. It is how to live in this world. The mission of the Jewish people, or the mission of Judaism, is a calling to people in this life. This also reflects why Rav Hirsch's sort of reluctance to stress too much on philosophical notions of Judaism and moving away from different anthropomorphic descriptions of God.
Take, for example, Maimonides. The Rambam had a huge emphasis on the intellectual clarity one needed to connect to God. Hence, he spent a lot of time and effort in correcting people's philosophical assumptions and philosophical underpinnings for their religious outlook. While Rav Hirsch doesn't question the truth of his claims, but there is a fear there. There is a fear that you'll lose, in your philosophizing, that which we connect to, that which is akin to a personality. And that is what calls upon us to live the moral life. Judaism is a mission at its essence. It's a calling to us in this world how to act, not a dream for the next world. Yes, the spiritual aspect of us is real. And the spiritual aspect of us, or the non-physical aspect of us that gives us this freedom, is real. But that should not be where your focus should be. Your focus should be in this world, not the hope for the next. Rav Hirsch brings a parallel in history that because of the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the ages, more of a focus had to be put on the next world. Because of the pain and the difficulty and the suffering that came about through being Jewish. But that isn't an ideal. The ideal is that the work and the focus should be in this world, and that mission is what should draw you. The fact that you are living out the good life, that you're living out the calling of a benevolent actualizer of existence has called upon you to do. You're living in line with the moral life that is weaved throughout our existence. That calling on us is what should move us. So we had our 2 points. We explained why this isn't actually a question, because there is indicators. And second of all, we questioned the very assumption of why you would want it to be mentioned. And at this point, I want to end with something that happened this week that really started me on this journey to discuss this topic in this week's podcast. I was sitting in the office and one of my students was speaking to me about becoming a mashgiach in a restaurant. He'd finished university and he was going to move into the working world. And before he achieved the specific job he wanted to get, he wanted something on the side to make some money. And one of the jobs he was offered was being a mashgiach. A mashgiach, loosely put, is someone who supervises the kashrus of a restaurant. He basically checks the vegetables and makes sure that in general the kitchen is kept kosher, because people who come in need to trust upon someone who's been watching the place, and that's the job of a mashgiach. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, Rabbi, how much schar do I get that the fact that this is a job?" And to put that into simpler English, he wanted to know that the fact that he was being paid for this, does that take away from his spiritual reward in the next world? And he was thinking about this and was wondering how it gets affected. And personally, when I hear an approach like this, I find it the best way of putting it is a severe lack of education or a severe lack of upbringing. Because from the first stage, it's very degrading to the individual speaking. The way I answered his question, or the way I attempted to answer his question, wasn't directly, for a number of reasons. One, I haven't got a clue what that means, getting reward in the next world, and how much and how little, because just from a point of view of mixing categories, I don't exactly even know what it means to get an amount of spiritual benefit. But without going into that, simply the approach he is taking to his religious life, I thought, was severely lacking. He was approaching his religious life like an investor, something that he, in theory, would articulate that is not the ideal way of looking at the world as an investor, but somehow when it becomes spiritual money, it becomes okay. The way I answered his question, or the way I attempted to answer him, as I said, perhaps we could reframe how you're looking at this new job. I said, potentially we could say that Judaism has a certain mission, has a certain goal, has a certain challenge to you. And somehow kashrus lives into that challenge, lives into that goal, feeds that goal. How is a different discussion, but somehow kashrus is following on that first mission of Avraham Avinu to become a blessing to the world. That very first calling to guard the way of God and practice tzedek and mishpat. Somehow kashrus, or keeping kosher, feeds into that goal. If we can work with that as an assumption, that we are living out on our personal lives. I said, isn't it not beautiful that you are living it out in your professional life as well? You're choosing a profession that not only pays you, but also lets you live out your spiritual mission, your God-given calling in this world by facilitating others in achieving their goal. So when another person wants to choose to eat kosher, you're facilitating that. True, you're being paid, but that doesn't take away that you have chosen this job. And it parallels your actual life's calling. That could potentially be a way to look at it. He found that quite satisfying. But my point, just to say it over outside, is that rather than looking at this world as a way to build spiritual points in the next world, the focus of the Jewish people, the focus that the Bible is telling us, is that the focus is on this world. The building of this world, not achieving the next world, the bringing God into this world, not attempting to get closer to him in the next. Getting closer to him in this world is our calling. What happens in the next world? That we can never understand. No one's ever come back. And even descriptions of it wouldn't really make sense from a physical standpoint. But at the same time, the Bible, by omission, is telling us this principle. That we are being called upon in this world to act. And the next world, that's not our concern. It will come, but that isn't our focus or our concern. I hope this made sense. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful rest of the week and a wonderful Shabbos.